Okay, we are up to Perek Gimel Mishnah Yud, Chapter 3, Mishnah 10, the final Mishnah of this chapter, deals with a case that actually has nothing really to do with the regular cases of Yibum and Chalitz that we've been speaking about, but it has to do, it comes up as related to the idea of two men marrying two women, and it sounds a lot, and we'll see that there is a notion that it could be two men marrying two sisters, and therefore, two brothers marrying two sisters, and therefore that sounds a lot like what we've been speaking about, so we have this case, but really it's a little bit out of the regular conversation that we have been having thus far. Okay, but anyways, Mishnah Yud says as follows, Shnayim Shekid if you have two men who were makadish, meaning they did the betrothal part, right? There's two parts of marriage. There's kedushin and there's a nisuin. There is a like the halachic engagement, if you will, and the halachic marriage. So if two men just did the halachic engagement with two women, who meaning so guy A married girl A and guy B married girl B. Uvishas kenisasan lachupa hechlifu es shel ze laze. And when they got married, when they entered the chuppah, when they went to go do nisuin to complete their marriage, they accidentally, you'll say, how is this possible? I'm not so sure, but okay, fine, it could happen, whatever. They accidentally switched this one's wife for that one's wife. Ve es shel ze laze, and that one's wife for this one's wife. Unbelievable. So they each were had the halachic kiddushin. Then finally they went into the chuppah to do nisuin. And okay, they sent the wrong woman down the wrong aisle. And I guess she had a very strong veil, and it was dark. And when they had marital relations later, but they switched the wives to the chuppah, and they each cohabited with the wrong woman. Guy A did nisuin. And had marital relations with girl B, and guy B did the same with girl A, which again were not the original women that they had done kiddushin with. So says the Mishnah, Hari ilu chayev mishum ishes ish. So in this situation, the law halach is that these people are going to be liable for a chatas offering for having had marital relations with a married woman. Hayu achin, if they were brothers, even worse, mishum ishes ach, they're going to be liable another chatas offering for having marital relations with the brother's wife. Vim hayu achayos. And if the women were sisters, on top of that, mishum isha elachosa, they're going to be liable for a third chatas offering for having relations with a wife and her sister, meaning you're going to having marital relations with a woman while you're married to her sister, v'im hayu nidos. And so this seems a little bit out of the ordinary, but it seems like the Mishnah just got wanted to keep listing on all the potential isurim that they could have violated. But this seems like irrelevant, because the assumption probably is that we're talking about regular from people who probably were careful about the halachos of nidos. But nonetheless, the Mishnah does say v'im hayu nidos, if the women were nidos, right, they had not gone to the mikveh after their menstrual cycle, or they were in their menstrual cycle, whatever it is, mishum nida, they're going to be liable for a fourth chatas offering for having marital relations with a nida. And says the Mishnah, what do you do in such a situation? So, since it was all unintentional, as a result, we say, umafrishin osan shlosha chadashim, all you have to do is, before the women return to their true husbands, right, A to A and B to B, we say we separate everyone for 3 months. Shema mu'baros hein, in case B is pregnant from A, and A is pregnant from B, so we separate them, because if this is the case, if they got pregnant from the other person, then the kid is probably going to be, and the kid is seemingly going to be a mamzer, and then that prevents many, that creates many situations, so we say let them separate so that we know that the woman is not pregnant from the other man. V'im hayu katanos she'enan ruyos lelei, but if the women were young girls who were not able to have children, machzirin osan miyad, then we return them to their true husbands immediately. And concludes the Mishnah, v'im hayu kohanos, if the women were daughters of kohanim, nifsalu min atruma, then they became disqualified from eating truma, meaning that even if the husbands die without them having a child, so normally you'd go back to the father's house, and so they're a daughter of a Kohen, so they should be able to go back to eating truma. But since they did accidentally had relations with someone who was an erva to them, even though again it was an accident, they become disqualified from eating truma forever, regardless of it, whether they end up back in their father's house in terms of being able to be considered a bas Kohen. They cannot eat truma anymore because they had accidental marital relations with the person who was an erva. Okay, that is the end of Mishnah. Mishnah Yud and Perek Gimel. We'll now do the first Mishnah of Perek Aleph. First Mishnah of Perek Aleph deals with the case of someone who he did chalitza to a woman when he was not clear if he needed to have done chalitza yet, because there's a general rule that when a man dies and he doesn't have children, that his widow can either do Yom or Chalitza with the brother, but we try to wait, so we say that she should wait 3 months before doing Yom or Chalitza, so that they know if she had a child with the husband who just passed. Because if she had a child with the husband who just passed, meaning they conceived and he died the next day, and then she finds that 3 months later she's pregnant, and then 6 months later a baby is born, and that kid is viable, then we assume that they are that she is exempt from Yibam or Chalitza. So you have to wait 3 months to see if she's pregnant or not, because if she's pregnant, then you wait it out, you see what happens, and if she's not pregnant, then okay, then you know you could do Yibam or Chalitza. So it says Mishnah Aleph in Perek Dalet, HaCholetz Levimto, someone who did Chalitza with his Yivama, Venim Seyes Muberes, and it was found that, it was later found that she was pregnant from her husband. So whether that means they didn't wait the full 3 months, or they did, and they just didn't realize that she was pregnant. Okay, fine. So again, he did chalitza with his yavama, and they found out that she was pregnant from her deceased husband. V'yalda, and then she gave birth. So the halacha is as follows: Bizman shavalad shel kayama, when the child is viable, then the chalitza is going to be meaningless, because she didn't need it in the end. Retroactively, clearly she didn't need it. So who mutar b'krivoseha? So the yavam is then allowed to marry her close relatives. V'hi mutaris b'krovav, and she's allowed to marry his close relatives. Below Fasala Menakuna, and he has not disqualified her from marrying into the Kahuna, from marrying a Kohen. So in other words, all these situations are allowed because we assume that the Chalitza was not necessary, so it's like it never happened. So he can marry a Krovim, she can marry his Krovim, and she can marry a Kohen. Otherwise, we assume that Chalitza actually has like the status of a divorce, at least from a rabbinic standpoint. So therefore, she could not, they would not have been able to do all these things if it was a valid Chalitza. And that's what the rest of the Mishnah says. Ina Valad Shel Kayama, if the child is not viable, then the Chalitza was necessary, and therefore, who asur b'krovoseha? He is not allowed to marry her close relatives, v'yasur b'krovav, and she is not allowed to marry his close relatives, u'fasala min ha-kahuna, and she is disqualified from marrying into the kahuna. She can never marry a kohen. Okay, that brings us to the end of Mishnah Aleph. God willing, next time I'll continue with Mishnah Beis here in Perek Daled, but for now, we will stop right here.